What did you think of that taking off like that?
That's a pretty good start, really.
Does that look like the sleds that you used to
use? Yeah, the same kind of sled that we used before, you know. But a little longer, it'd be all right to make it. Pull that sleigh up with load or something like that. Yeah.
Did you used to have that much load or more load?
More load than that sometimes when you really travel for about a week, you know. But pull that sleigh up.
How about his dogs? What did they look like to you?
These dogs is nice, you know. They want to grow well. When we have that kind of dogs, it's especially me, you know. When I have lively dogs, I want to travel all the time, you know. But when they look tired, I don't care much to travel around with them before.
Where is he going?
He's going down towards Big Lake, that's south from here. A long ways out, about maybe 50 miles, 40 miles, I guess.
How long do you think it'll take him to get there with a team like that?
Well, it wouldn't take them very long, maybe about 7 hours, maybe, traveling with dogs, you know.
How about years ago when you used to go there?
Well, when I used to go around there, this trade was not really hard enough to travel that time, you know. No snow go. And when dog team trade, it always be slit, you know, on the both sides is runners. And dogs always follow this slit track on runners track. So in the middle of the trail, it always be soft. That's the way it used to be. And then we got this snowball, you know, and we make it just even, hard all the way across with snowball. But when we used to have dog team all the time, you know, that's just the way it used to be. Just on both sides, that's all they walk. And just, we got their own trail. And right in the middle of this trail is soft.
Is that, might give you problems?
Oh yeah, it gives us a lot of problems when it drops in, you know. Because this trail is pretty narrow that it could just go off the trail that way.
The sled would tip over?
Not sled, but just dogs, that's all. You know, when it really drifts in, some dogs always push each other out. They want to stay right on the trail. So what I did is, when I have dogs, you know, I make the back line short on the other ones, you know, try to push out each other on the trail, you know, they want to stay on the trail. So what I did is some of the dogs that tie together, like you see those dogs right here, I make their back line short so they wouldn't push each other out like this.
Huh. Did you invent that?
Yeah, I tried that way, you know, because once they start to push each other, that gave you really problems. You can't go nowhere, really. They just work on each other, that's what pushing off each other on the trail, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
when you went on the trail, would you camp out overnight on your way to someplace?
Oh yeah, we have to camp out. With these dogs, especially when they get tired, you know, you have to stay all night some places. And what we did is we have to tie them up, you know. Things will get there. And a lot of times is, especially when we raise new puppies, you know. When we leave them with their harness like that, they always have to chew their harness off, you know. Just chew it up. So what we did is tie them up all the time. Even though we're going to leave them for a little while, you know, tie them with chain. Because when we trap with them, it's when we got traps, you know, some good places is way off the trail. So you got to leave them for a while, maybe about 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And you got to go to that place where you want to set trap. You see? That's when we have problems all the time. I used to have that problems all the time.
You ever run into animals on the trail with your dogs?
Well, a lot of times. A lot of times when there's a lot of moose around, you know. And that gives you problems too sometimes. You better. You really have to hang on to your sled because once they run away, you wouldn't get them again, you see. And I did it before. One time, in fall time, there was caribou up this way, you know. And there was hardly any snow, so what I did was, I hook up 12 to 8 dogs, I think. And they really want to go just like this right here. And I go through this. This was first part that's up here. I go through that one. And then, before I hit the river, you know, they start smelling caribou. Boy, they really take off. There's a big bank down here. I just make a full tip in there. I let them go. I lose my dogs. And I got no way to get them. And they make one long bend. And they go after this caribou, you know. And good thing there was one guy, Ron and Sam, was up that way, you know. And he said this caribou was running up on the river. So what he did was, he just shoot in front of that caribou, you know. And that caribou just run off to one side and go up on the bank. And those dogs just followed this caribou. And they got stuck and tangled up on that. And the only way I get them back, ever since that time, is I don't have to take a chance with a bunch of dogs anymore. Yeah. But that's the way they are, you know.
Let's go over and have a look at this team that's picking up now.
This team is this.
Steve Goodman. Ask me about this team, what's the difference between this team and other teams and this one and this
one. What is what's the difference between this team and the team that just took off?
This is just their training for race team, I think. That's a lot of different than pulling dogs, because pulling dogs is, they train for all day long, you see. They have to be pulling all the time, but this dog here is just for a couple hours that they have to run steady. That's what they're going after right now.
How is the sled different?
Well, this sled is way different than those big sleds, you know. They can handle it easy. But once you get into rough trail, but you have to watch it in case of you tip over.
When did they start making sleds like this?
Since not too long ago, maybe about 20 years ago, I guess. There was hardly any small sled before, but they want this kind of race team.
Was the last sled more like the old kind of sleds?
Yeah, the ones that line started with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of sled we used to have long ago. But this wrist sleeves, I don't have that much, very much, you know. I never use that kind of sled for. But we just have big sled all the time for those dogs, you know, the pulling sled to haul load some places. When I used to have dogs, you know, I really want to have lively dogs all the time to make me happy, just like. But a lot of times when they go where there's no trail, you know, they don't like to travel anymore. They get tired. And when I see dogs that want to go just like Linus dogs, you know, I really want to travel some places. Yeah.
Is that when you miss your dogs?
Mm-hmm. That's when I miss my dogs more.
Do you think you'll have dogs again?
I sure like to sometime, really.
Now they can get distemper shots.
Yeah, now they got all kinds of shots for dogs, you know. When we lose our dogs, there was hardly any shot, just like when they get sick, you know. Especially they get sick in springtime when the snow started melting, you know. Yeah.
Because they get wet?
Yeah, and with this water or something. You know, when snow started melting, this water is all over on here. Not really up here, but down that way, it's worse. You just can't go any place. I always use hip boots to feed my dogs long ago when I started feed them in the evening, you know. Of course, very few places that you could find a ground, you know, so we tie them way far apart.
Dogs behind your house or outside?
Way outside the house, you know. Especially in springtime, we got to tie them way out of the houses. Because you kind of miss you, you know. But in summertime, it's well, just leave them close to the river, though, where you can get water.
So the dogs can move around different times.
Yeah. Well, and I can kind of feeling bummed this morning with cold to my throat.
Oh, mm-hmm. Maybe we should go inside.
Yeah.
You think you're catching me?
Yeah.
Cold?
I stay away from it long enough.
Is this kind of new that people start using dog houses?
Yeah, this is new ones. Better to have dog house for them, you know, in cold weather.
Mm-hmm. They used to have dog houses?
We used to have some, but not this kind though. We make long places where we put this pile those trees. We add it about this high, one side, and just lay it on one way like this.
Oh, you just
yeah,
like a
all along, trees? Long places where we could.
Kind of like the ones down there.
The ones where? Oh, they got dog houses just like this here?
They have long ones.
Oh, that's the kind we used to have long ago, you know. It's easy to make too. When we got dog house, you don't have to put any branches in there very often, you know. Snow don't cover that place, and then once you put this branches on in there, and they'll stay for a while. But when they don't have dog houses, you know, they just cover with snow right away, and you have to cut another branches again to haul it. Yeah. It's a hard thing to make, and we had a hard time start the foundation because we don't really know how they're going to put it up, you know. No blueprint or nothing. You just have to figure out how wide you have to make it, you know. It takes us a long time before we just make the foundation for them, you know. The one guy came in and he started work on it and he built it like that. We sure had a quiet time on it though, starting out, you know. A lot of guys said this way maybe, and I said different way. And finally this guy came around and then he showed us how to do it.
Is that when you said you learned a lot about carpentry?
Yeah, really. And a lot of times I went to work some places too, and I get stuck with my job, you know, sometimes. So I walk over and ask them, see how they're going to do it. Yeah, that's the kind of sled we used to have right here. That's just the way they used to have sleigh long. Since not too long ago, they started to make that bow though. You see that? Yeah. They started to make this sleigh since not too long ago on this back front bow like this. You just have to use this bow right straight up like this. Instead of laying that this way. And not too long ago they started to build it like this. And this was really nice. Because what you gotta do is find onto your sphere and go around when you take over one side. You just can stay on this side. But before long ago, I got the same kind of sled what they used to have long ago is they got this top rail sticking out way back about this far. And really long, because they said you used to have it long, so they can push it, you know. Two dogs, maybe one dog sometimes. And this is new ways right here.
Would this part come out?
No, this part, top part, that's all is longer, way back about this part, so they can push it, you know.
And the runner is the same like this?
I don't think they got runners sticking out, because I don't think they take right them days. They just have to walk all the time. Because maybe they have one dog or something like that.
So you got to work pushing it.
No, got to pushing it. And somebody on front that could pull. I never seen them, but I heard about it. I heard a lot about it. Yeah.
Whose sled is this?
This is Edison. He's around all the time. Yeah. Let's go down there and see my sled too, the ones that I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see more of this stuff.
Oh yeah, I gotta get my dog shot too. I see those guys down there. You know, for December. I asked them twice already about it.
Oh, and it's at your house.
Yeah,
I'm
just gonna pay them up.
How many dogs do you have now?
I just got one.
Just one.
But why we want this dog to get shot is every puppy always make friends with him, you know.
Oh.
Even big dogs. Yeah. You guys could wait for me in house or something like that while I help them out right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we could walk around out here.
Oh, yeah.
School together. Down in Anchorage. I know Anchorage over at U of A in Fairbanks. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm trying to get them back over here.
Hey, you guys is leaving today, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll go out at 1 o'clock.
Oh, 1 o'clock? That's not too far.
Yeah, we're out of time. We got in here a little late yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to them anyway? You usually come around 11. I mean,
you want to know what happened?
Yeah.
Truth? They had a bunch of people show up from Manitouvik Pass. Oh. All right, so they decided instead of going to Alakaka, we sent everybody Anetuvik. So they all took off together. And then when the plane returned, then everybody got on. Then we could come to Alakak. So Anetuvik rates number one.
All time, I think.
All time, you bet. They really always seem to get the airplanes.
We're behind in them because they got more people that traveling must be.
Yeah, I think they make more money, too, see?
I think so.
Right.
They're making a lot of business out of that place of the street. And
so, you got to wait in line.
Yeah.
So we lost 4 or 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
But we still got, yesterday we got all over 100 dogs.
Oh, yeah. Right here, huh?
Yeah, right here.
Too bad I didn't have dogs.
Yeah, then you got to feed them.
You got to feed them.
Yeah, hear them guys got to feed. Yeah.
You know,
dog food's not when cheap.
When we have dogs long ago, around this time of the year, it makes me worry because we're renting.
Yeah, you'll
you
worry.
Guys put school in house or anything you want to?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You guys, so you're interviewing a lot of people for the school? A couple of people, yeah. Oscar. Oh, old timer, huh?
Yeah.
Old-timer.
I don't know how they.
Are you doing it in that basket?
We're doing it.
Yeah, there's enough. You get the right guy. Yeah. You already talked to us. Well, we get old John away from
him. What you should do is walk across and tell him to come across.
I think I'm going
to. Yeah. You know where to go, don't you?
Oh, here they come.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll take your dog now.
Yeah, there's one more guy that has a bunch of dogs right there, too, I think.
One,
is this Nick's house right there, dude?
Senior?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, Dave. All right, we'll first. Are you going to be here?
Oh, yeah, I'll be right here.
You're going to get one or two shots?
This two, I guess. One is for distemper, that's right?
And one for rabies.
Oh, yeah, I'll get two of them one time.
All right, that's 250.
Oh, yeah. As long as he got shots, you know. Why we want this dog to get shot is we live in a house once in a while too, you know. And seems like he got a friend all the time back there. Every time we see a loose dog, he would holler, and then pretty soon he got a friend. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I think we got him a couple of years ago, didn't we? The dog last time.
Yeah. You remember that time, last spring around first part of June, I think.
That's when John came.
Yeah. But I was late that time. We was out in spring camp and I see a bunch of guys that taking off, you know. That was them. Yeah.
I'll go get him now.
Yeah. Yeah, when we have snooker. I think about 6 years ago, I bought that my first snowball. I got him back here yet, though. And we had a bunch of dogs yet, too, that time. So what I did is, sometimes I drive dogs, and sometimes I use that snowball. But when we drive dogs, it's a lot easier for me, just like when you travel long ways on cold weather. Because every time when you get cold, you work, you see. You run a little bit or push. Or any way that you could keep up warm. And then after this snuggle, you're just sitting down, you see? And there's no way that you could keep warm once you start to get cold, at least. So what I always do when I travel is I just bundle myself up just like this, you know? And I leave something over my lap too. Sometimes I use my big porky, you know? And sitting down on top some kind of mattress over that snuggle. Good seat, but I just want to keep warm. And that way I don't get cold anymore. Really. It's really good to have, but once you broke down, you have to just walk. That's all I think.
What kind of windshield have you got on your snow machine?
I just patch it. You know, I bought new one last fall, and then I tried it out with. When you run snow on cold weather a little bit, you just get cold on your face. Especially me, I think. Because a lot of people I've seen, when they run snow, they just use Martin hat like that. They never use their hood, you know. But me, I always just cover my face all the time. I got mask someplace that I could just cover it, you know. And a lot of people did this, used to smoke and hot, you know. They keep warm, especially young guys, they don't get cool very much, strong enough, but after I get old, I just can't keep up warm, I guess.
Windshield you got?
New one is, that windshield is too low. I don't know why they make it that way. You should look at it after a while, maybe. And it's pretty low. And then every time I start to run it, my face always gets cool, so I just patch it with the other one, you know. Make it a little higher that way. Only way I could keep warm. Every time I get cold, I just bent down like this behind it, you see, on my face.
What's it look like now?
It looks pretty. All kinds of color on the windshield. You know? Yeah, different color, you know. But as long as I keep warm on it, I just leave it that way. And I was thinking of trying to get a long windshield sometime for it, you know. So that way, kind of hard on my eye, you know. Because I double it, just like with two different colors, but I can see good on the tree.
Do you ever break down
in your snow? Yeah, a lot of times I broke down, but not really long ways out, though. I don't like to, I hope I don't break down when I run snow good long ways. Like tomorrow, if we want good to ride someplace, if we broke down, we'd be stuck. We'd yeah. Like, I always worry about breaking down or something like that all the time, because it happened to a lot of guys, you know. Once it breaks down, and then you can start it. You just have to walk home, I guess. Like this guy that started this morning with Doc Kim, he had that same trouble this fall. He broke down way down someplace. So there's other people. What I did when I go is, I always leave a word with her, you know. See how long it'll take me or something like that, you know. I always think that if it's going to take me a long time, I say I wouldn't be back right away, you see. How she'll know it. But we just watch our time, you know, see how long that it take me. Like this one trip, it take me somewhere around 7.5 hours round trip some places, you know. Just traveling all the way, you know. And she always watch her time, just like. It's all right when it's warm. You can make a fire and stay overnight in there. And we got a little tent frame down there. Too bad you wouldn't see it tomorrow. We got trail different way. That's where we're going tomorrow. Different trail. So I make that house, I mean, tent frame. I guess they don't make that around here very often, but I learned this from fire one time, you know. You got those black lichquin. And one time there was a bunch of fire around this area right here. I don't know how many different fire. So a bunch of BLM guys came over, you know. And they told us to make some kind of frame, you know, frame house. So we just put four posts up. And put stick one ways on top of it, you know. Make some kind of pole like this on top, all the way along, just like house, you know. So we just put that tarp over it, all around. And it just looked like house, in summertime, you know. And that next year, you know, I just figured to make that kind. But this was, I made it out of pole. And I just make it just like house, you know, about 5 feet wall, and then I got those frame about 2 feet apart all the way along the side. And we just put lichquin over it. Boy, it's really keep us warm. Tight air, you know. Once you make fire and this warm heat is coming up, and it wouldn't go through nowhere. That's the way it is. We got stove in there. And sometimes in summertime, but it's too hot, you know. So I make screen door for it too. So we just leave that open, you know. That we could sleep good. Good for mosquitoes, though, because mosquitoes don't bother us when it's springtime, you know. No place to go through, and we burn Buhak a little bit, and yeah.
What kind of stove do you have in it?
Same kind like this one. I made that stove, you know, this half drum.
So it's a big house.
Yeah, not really big. I make this for tent frame, starting off for tent frame. So I make it 10 by 12, you see, but higher, and it just look like house, you know. When we stay in tent so long, we get tired of it, just like, though, one thing. Because you have to vent on all the time, you know, just like. We don't know that we get tired, just like. And when we got that kind of house, it's just like house for us. That's why I'm telling a story about it. Yeah.
Inside frame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of frame did you make for your tent before that?
Yeah, you know how we set up tent, you know how? That way we used to be. We just set up tent anyway. Like we got one stick on the end to hold up this top ridge pole and tie it on the two other stick on end, you know. That's all we used to do. When we travel for one night, we do that though, you know.
How many sticks does it take?
Five on each side. Little pool, just to, there's string on it, you know, where you can just tie it out. Yeah.
That guy's gonna come over and vaccinate your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any dogs get diseases? Dogs get sick.
Our dogs died off with distemper one time, you know, but I never seen those rabies dog yet, though. The one time we did, though, I don't know, that's this rabies, I think. They say that's rabies, but, you know, that dog just ran around like this. Just like, you don't know what he was doing. Yeah. That's why I want our dog to get shot all the time. Because we leave it in the house, too, in cool weather.
Is that dog your friend mostly? Or
really, really. You see, we don't have kids of our own. And when we live with a dog, we just talk with them all the time, make a friend, you know. And just like it's something to him. I mean, when he stay with us, you know, it give us good company. And when we go to camp, that's when we need it. That's 2 years ago when we bought that dog from Bellis. After that, we went to camp, on Beaver Camp, where we're going to go tomorrow. But we had tent in there. And she stayed home one time. And that dog, you know, we leave him in tent, way down there in the corner, just like this. Every little while, he wouldn't check, I think. He just wanted to know what's going on. He just watched, I think. Go out and tent, stand up with his hind leg, you know, look around, go in tent again. So we can get up every time. So what she did was, she got long pole, you know. You can leave this tent open all the time when cold weather, you know. You gotta close it. What she did was, she got long pole, and while we sit down back there, you know, he go out. And come back, and that door is just wide open. So what we do is get that long pole and fix it with this long pole, you know. And one time he was doing that, and it was windy and foggy, just like, you know. And pretty soon, those crew always make noise, you know, hollering, and just run over the camp and holler, you know. This dog just take off out. He thought something like this. Look, jump out and look out, nothing. He just want to watch. And one time we did one evening, it got dark now. And pretty soon this dog started bark, you know. That was a moose go near our camp, you know, on river. We didn't hear it, but he heard it. That next day I started to check my trap over the other way, you know. And I see moose track right there. That was That's why he bark. And that's why we keep that dog all the time. But, and last spring...
What would happen if you didn't have that dog?
Well, we wouldn't hear anything, you know. But we just wanted to keep it and camp.
You think that moose might bother you?
No, he wouldn't bother. But we wouldn't even know that moose was going through, you know.
You might be able to go shoot that moose. No,
I don't think so. But why we want to have that dog is just to watch in camp, you see. Just to watch. That's all.
So that's why you have that really bad.
Yeah. One time when we bought that dog, I'll tell a story about our dog here. And then we keep him in dog. They leave him in house in bedles all the time, I think. And that first winter when we bought it, we let him sleep around here. And I was sleeping back there on bed, you know. And I had bad sleeping, you know. I dream funny. Start to holler in my sleep or something, I think. Dreaming or something, I didn't know what was going on. And pretty soon, I holler maybe. And that dog ran to me. Started make noise and push me like this. Push me. I just woke up, feel funny. Here was dog was pushing me. Boy, he really helped me out. she don't wake up, but this that dog, that's all. And this fall, we train him, you know. This fall, I went to see a dentist downtown now. In short time, we find out he was down there in Tanna, you know. And this Nina and the air just happened to be landing in about 15 minutes or something like that. And I find out dentist was down there, so both of us want to go right away in short time. And we didn't tell nobody. But this Richard Steven back here, he's a really good friend of ours, you know. I just ran, he was living right over here, little ways, and I just ran over to him and I tell him that, he said, feed our dogs, we got drivers around there and everything. He said, yeah. And we just took off with everything. And he said, he tried to feed that dog. He said, poor dog. He don't want to eat what I feed him, you see. He just look back to this house, that's all. Every time I start to feed him, you see. That's what, that much he miss us, you know. Yeah, that way they are. Yeah. And that's why we want that dog, you see. They are that way. Yeah.
What's your dog's name?
Apache. My girl's dog, you know. She's downtown right now. Yeah, Apache, he called it. He had a different name, but she just changed that name as soon as we got it, you know. Our way again.
What other things does your dog do to help you?
Another thing, when we have long ways, they help us to pull us around, you know, but this one, I don't think he could do that, really. But we just have it anyway, you know. But when we have a bunch of dogs long ago, you could go someplace where you want to go, really. Like, if you want to go someplace, but long ways, maybe a couple of days you'll get there, you know. But without breaking down or something, you don't have to think about breaking down or something, you can just travel. But once they get tired, though, they get tired, though.
But sometimes don't you break a runner on your sled?
One time I do it. You know, this was really funny. There's one guy at this village that broke his sleigh, you know, done the same thing. And that's why our stories always, they always tell us not to laugh at it. I mean, not to laugh at different person like that, you know, what happened to them. And don't talk about it or something like that. And every time I start drive dogs, you know, I said, I tell that stories over and over. And one time I started to see beaver trapping. He was back there alone then. I was going down the bank on the lake, you know. This wasn't really a steep bank too. And halfway down there was pretty good size of birds, right close to trail, you know. And I'm going pretty slow. I didn't hold back those dogs too, you know. All at once, my sled just turned off to that bridge, break it in halfway, you know, break the point up, and about halfway of that sled, and that bird, that sled finally stopped that far. Broken sled. What I'll do now? Good thing there was spring camp close to there. You know, when long ago, when they got rid of their sled, you know, in springtime, there always used to be lots of old sled what they threw away, you know. And I know they were sled down here a little ways on spring camp. What I do is, I can go. That's all sled we had too, I think, that trip. So I turn around, turn these dogs around, come back with broken sled. And I tie our dogs up and take off down to the spring camp. It's not too far, maybe 2 miles, I guess. I started to dick around the old camp, you know. But my snow was pretty deep, too. Look around, stick. Finally, I find it and dig it out, you know. And I get all those cross pieces and flint. I just tie it anyway to fix it up. And we come back to here with that sleigh, you know. And I fix it good right there. Yeah, that's my problems right there. No more after that. I never talk about this different person that breaking something like that, you know. I just learned my lesson right there. I don't know why I always have to tell that story. And I done it the same way. It just happened to me the same way. That I don't want to talk about it no more after that, you know. Yeah, I learned my lesson that time.
So you don't talk about
broken sleigh or something, you know, like
that happened to somebody else.
Yeah, to somebody else. I wouldn't say nothing. That'll say too bad, that's all, you know. But this thing was, I don't know why, this funny to me, this lad. Even though it'll happen, you know. Yeah.
Who told you that you should talk about
Well, that's our stories, you know. Anyway, native stories, you know. If anything happened to different guys, you know, wouldn't even laugh about it or something like that. Especially long ago. Really. Right now it's different, you know.
But long ago, then what sort of things might happen to someone that you wouldn't want to talk about?
Like if somebody broke their sled or something like that, wouldn't even laugh about it or nothing, you see. That's the way it used to be. Because if we do, it'll happen the same way again, like as, you know. That's the way it is, you see. So I believe it after this, you know. And after that, I don't talk about that way no more. I tell her too. we were young anyway, you know, and then we don't even know what we were talking about this life.
It's something else. We were talking about dogs.
Good. Yeah. Long ago, this happened about this long. In kind of pushing, you know. Because they only have a couple dogs to drive, you see. So somebody had to push it all the time. And not too long ago, maybe about 10 years ago, they want me to make a old style sled, you see. But I don't really know what they have long ago. So I just make it like this, the way they used to say. I don't know why they used to have about this long. This thing has to stick out about this long. Kind of crook it down like this. That's old ways.
They had it long ways back?
Yeah, long ways back. But a couple years after that, you know, not too long ago, they started mixing it like this.
What's different?
This is easier to handle, you know. You can hang on pretty easy like this, but once like this, is you can tip over once in a while too, you know. When you tip over, you might get hurt or something, because you can't go around like this. Sometimes the sled always slides sideways. When it slides sideways, you have to go around it just like this. But you have, this thing will be on your way then next year. So this is easy way to have sleds like this. But only thing hard to handle is small sled like this. I think we can take this one, you think so? Or this one right here, you want? This one right here. This broken handle, you gotta give me a chance to fix it before we start. Okay. More. Because I gotta fix this up, break this sleigh with wood, you know.
How do you stand on this one?
Easier. Easier, all you gotta do is just stand. Pull this one right here. This kind of sled I really like to have. This kind of back end. But it takes a little longer, but it lasts a little longer too. Because this makes it strong and easy to pull back, you see. Yeah. Why don't we look at our snowshoes too, maybe?
Okay. Yeah.
I gotta have to get the key first. I gotta wait for them, huh? Out in the woods. Like where the snow trail like this, you know. It's really coming in handy because it's white. This is my other one too, but this is narrow one. Like it's good for trail though, this narrow one right there. But it's not very good for where there's no trail. You just sink down and walk in deep snow, that's all. But when you have this one here, it's easier walking. Because you can walk on top of the snow some places. You don't sink down as much as this one here. So every time I go someplace when I want to make a trail or set trap long ways, I always have to take the snowshoes. You can easy walking then.
How do you put your foot in it?
Like this. See, I use this sizes for big moccasins. Bigger than this one here. This is just for village, that's what I mean, this moccasin right here. But when I use really moccasin is I use it way bigger than this one here. That's why it's loose like this right now.
Close up.
And this is my wife's snowshoes right there. That's the smallest one. And my daughter got smaller than this one, but it's in custom place. Yeah. When I have this kind of snowshoes, it's easy walking for me, way better than those other ones outside me, because how it's easy is you don't have anything over this one here, and easy to walk in. But only trouble with this kind of snowshoes is, I don't like this thing to get wet, really, this filling right here. Right around April, that's when snow started to melt. Once it got wet, it just slip off. This kind of rope, you see? That's the way it is. It'll slip off and start to rip the whole thing back. That's the way it gets. So, as long as I never wear it, during the really warm weather, it's alright. It lasts a long time. I got this for about, I don't know how many years. And this one's about 2 years, I guess.
What's this piece right here?
That's the holding this fence up. They double this thing up to back here so it wouldn't get straight again. And when we make this thing wet, it'll just get straight again, really. So what they do is a lot of times they rebend it, like tie the snowshoes together like this, and the way it bent like this, and they do that. I got some pieces like right here that I'm going to show you guys too. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. What is this part here?
That's glue right there.
Oh,
crack made. Yeah.
The red colors from that rock you're talking about.
Uh-huh. That's the one. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm only the one that's using it. This red rock right here. I really like it because they use it from way back anyway. And I tell a story about it before, you know. We really got stuck to make it one time. A lot of people tell us different ways. Like, one guy tell us that you could use all kinds of this, some red willows, dry willows, you know, kind of red color. You can make shavings with that thing and burn it under this rock, he said. So, one time we ran out of that red stuff in the red rock. And what I did was go down this way, behind this field, and I find that kind of stick. And make shavings with it. And burn it right under this rock. I hang it somewhere. I had two sticks, you know. Two sticks like this together. So I just put it like this right here. Leave the twin here. And turn them around. And burn that red willows under it. And then it just turned black instead of red. That's all. Just black it got. Yeah, just black ashes. So I don't know what to do next. I just gave up. I got a bunch of red rock in there and know what to do about it. So I was thinking to use some kind of varnish in, you know. And then one evening I just think of might as well truth and stove before I go to bed, you know, before we went to bed. So we had big fire and stove and I just threw one piece inside. Just try it out, you know. I put it where it's really burning, you know. Lots of red ashes and everything. I just threw it in there. And I wake up early all the time, you know. I make fire. And first thing what I do is try to check for that rock. Before I make fire, I had big flat rock in the house under stove, what I paint on. First thing what I do is I just go to that rock, you know, and just try it out. Spill a little water in there. Gee, it just turned red. Boy, I was lucky. Ever since that time, I got lots of that stuff now. Because I know how to make it now. But before that is, we have to put it in some kind of fish blood, you know. So what we did is, we got coffee can like that, you know. What we did, we put a lot of blood from fish in this can, you know. We just threw it in. Just like that, and leave it overnight or something like that for a long time, you know, before you put it in fire. That makes it red, this year. Yeah. I'll show you guys what that, starting out how to bend it. I got one personal piece inside. Thank you. What I use for little ones. That's the kind of frame house I make down camp. But this is made of, and they threw all this stuff away. So I'll make snuggle house with it.
Strip this, huh?
Yeah, split it with chainsaw in half. Yeah. And this kind that I was talking about, you know, yeah, this keep warm. And this is not used that I never really work on it yet. See, that's the way it's looking when you first bend it.
Just bring them outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you point out something on it? Can you point out
what's we're supposed to have something right here. Something, but it dropped off. You know, just to hold it, to bend it up. So this is just. It's just like this, you know. What we did is when we started bending, we always have to bend it this way first. Over this way. And put this thing in. And this is willows. This is old style I do. The way they used to do long ago. With this willows like this. Just tie it with willows. Lot of them use rope But this thing always dry with this thing, you know, and it never dry, get loose. But rope always get loose, and when you tie it with rope, it just make a where you tie it. You cut lines, just like that's how come I use this here. This is small snowshoes for kids. I was supposed to work on it, but I didn't get time enough to do it. I got three of them in house, in this house, I think. That. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of birds that we get all the time. And, you know, I was telling you guys that when I work on birds like this, it's I always try to work someplace way off the trail with it. Way off the trail. Because for some reason, when you're out of luck with it, you just can't find it. No matter how far you could walk, you know. This is really special kind of birds that you could get. Because there's a lot of birds, you know, but you gotta find the right kind for this. Because sometimes you don't get the right kind, it just break off right away. Soon you started bent it, and then it just break off or crack off.
How do you find the right time?
But what I did is, I have to walk long ways for it. But right now is, we have to use boat, you know, in summer, in springtime, I mean, in fall time. We always have to go some long ways, and to haul it in at one time. Only way I could get birds around here. Because there was fire all around this area, and all that birds is burned off, and hard to get any more close to here. Yeah.
It's making a lot of noise.
It get cold, maybe. Huh?
Check your battery.
Yeah. One spring I make this place. I just only make one boat in this place. This one right here. I just haul them right up to where I build it to. This is just for bottom.
Point is the same as this
point. Yeah, right here. It'll be shorter than this boat though, because you gotta overlap this thing here. You know, to put this side here. I don't know really how to make boat, but I try anyway, because there's a lot of good boat builders someplace down around Yukon. And I sure like to see them sometimes, so I'll try to make the kind of boat they make, you know.
Can you point out something on that? I'll get a picture.
What?
Point out something on that boat.
It's also which is good looking or something like that, I pick out. And I got one pieces in there.
What did you bend?
This was already bent one. I just look for a crooked stick.
Oh, like a root or something?
Yeah, I got them right here someplace. I can't look
at. Are you rolling? Okay, what do you call that piece in Athabascan?
Kakatla. Yeah, that's what they call it. And we use this on canoe too, like when we go and build a little canoe, like canvas canoe. We always use this kind of stuff. It's already bent. And we use this kind of stuff a lot of ways. Too bad I didn't have my sleeve bender around here. Somebody is borrowing it since last fall and never returned it. I make the same kind stuff with it, but this thing is long, you know, for runners, and all you gotta do is just put your runners just like this, put it on it, and just bend it over this one on a point like that. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. Same kind of stuff, you know.
How about with snowshoes?
No, I got bender in the house, but not this kind, you know, just different kind of stuff. I made it. But sometimes I like to make this kind for snowsuits too, you know, to bend it. But I never worked on snowsuits for a long time. You never get around to it.
Is it hard to find that piece?
Hard to find it. This thing would look long ways, like we went down that way. And one time we went up that way, just to look for a really good one. And we didn't find any. Some of them is not very good. And
what do you look for? How do you tell it's going to be a good one?
Well, it just bent like this, you know. Bent easy, just like this. All even, that's what I was looking for. Because once you cut this grain like this, it wouldn't last long. You see, you got to follow this grain like this. So you see this grain right there? Mm-hmm. You got to follow that stuff, because if you cut it something like this or something like this, it'll just crack off, you know. And that's what I'm looking for.
How do you cut it out of the tree?
Well, I just pick out where it's good, you know, so I just, sometimes I use chainsaw to just cut it off, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I split it. When I started work on, how did I where to put my hammer? I got some kind of wooden hammer, you see. It's inside the ground. Too bad you didn't see that one. It's about this big round. Mm-hmm. What I did is about this long. And make places where you could just hold it, just like this, you know. When I start to split birds or anything, I just put my axe in there and hit that axe. That's the way I split it. Because well, once you make a too many cut, you know, on snowshoes, and you just spoil that birds up. That's why. Yeah. So I just, once I make, like I want to split it just like this,